book of John. We're going to chapter 17. I'm only going to read one scripture, but I urge you to go and read the full chapter. This is a prayer that Jesus is reciting to God. And this is before he goes to the cross. And he is in this intimate space with the Father, where he's praying for himself, he's praying for the disciples, and he's praying for believers to come, us. And so it's a beautiful scripture if you read it all the way through. So go back and read it, but I'm only going to read one verse. So we're at John chapter 17, verse 17. Please say amen when you have it. Amen. I hear you. And it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Very short and simple today. And so as I was stating, through this whole chapter, Jesus is talking to God. And the center of it is sanctification. He's saying to sanctify them through your truth. But he defines the truth as the word of God. That's the truth. And the truth in the word of God is Jesus. And so Jesus here, in the first five verses, he prays for himself. And he says to glorify me as I glorify you. Not being selfish, but putting himself, God-man, into that God factor, right? Because he's both. He's God and he's man. And then through verses 6 through 19, he's praying for his disciples. And he's saying that I know they'll fail. They're going to make mistakes. But I won't lose them. They won't fall away. Except one, and we'll talk about that later. And then in the last part, Jesus prays for the believers to come. Jesus prays for us before we were even born. Because he sent the disciples out into the world to multiply believers and to disciple other people. And he said that he wanted us to abide in him as he abides in God. And so that really hit my heart. Because here we have Jesus years and years and years ago, thousands of years ago, praying for little old me before I was even thought of. And so it's such a significant moment, but he talks about the importance of sanctification. And so we all know that sanctification, if you don't and you're new to this, sanctification is a process. It's continuous, and it continues to happen each and every day. It is something that is ongoing. It has a beginning, and it does have an end, but it's not going to end while we're still alive. It's an ongoing process. And so sanctification is defined as something that is set apart to make holy, to purify or consecrate, to be sacred, physically pure, and morally blameless. Jesus's will, or God's will for us, is to be sanctified. It's to be in this continuous process of learning more about who he is. And because he's such a big God, we can never learn enough. He's such a big God. There are things that we'll never know in this lifetime. And we must be content with that. But what he requires us to do is to study his word. What he requires us to do is to daily submit to his will of sanctification. And so I didn't say my title. It's not up there. It's okay. But it's daily bread, daily sanctification. Daily bread, daily sanctification. So in Philippians 1:6, Paul is in the middle of sharing his heart with the people. And he's stating that being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so when I talk about that there's a beginning of sanctification, the beginning of sanctification is the day that you say yes. And so for those of us who have been, you know, in this walk with the Lord for years on end, I want you to think about the time that your sanctification process started, the day that you said yes to Jesus Christ. Think about that time. And if you're in here and you haven't said yes to him yet, just know that sanctification is a process. And if you want to say yes today, he is ready for you with arms wide open. The sanctification process is not an easy process. In fact, it's meant to be difficult, because if it was easy, everyone would do it. It's hard to walk through that narrow gate that God is calling us to walk through, because a lot of people are not going that way. But it's easy to walk through that broad gate. You see, sanctification requires discipline. It requires a different kind of level of study. It's not just reading your Bible. Pastor has said this many times, and it hit me, you know, a few months ago, and he said, the Bible doesn't say to read your Bible. It says to study your Bible. And anyone that's been in school, you've had to study something at any given point, right? You know what it means to really study, to know the information for yourself. And when we study, we are eating the Word of God. We are feeding our spirit each and every day. It's fruits and vegetables that we're eating in the spirit, not fat. And so in this process, there's a beginning. In this process, there is an end. And so if we don't continue this process, we may not see the reward at the end. Matter of fact, we won't. And so through the process of this, in verse 17, he says, sanctify them through your truth. Sanctification is something that is God's will for our lives, so that we can be set apart to serve him and produce purpose to glorify his name. Each and every one of us have a purpose. We have a reason that God called us. We have a reason that God put us on this earth to do something, to beget more believers. And how you do it may be different in the way than what I've been called to do it, but we're all called to doing it a certain way, whatever that looks like for you. And so through that sanctification, how do we do that and give a good weighted word that is not watered down or just motivational? We eat the word every day through the process. And so if the word is the truth, and the word is Jesus Christ, we get that through intimate time with him. And so my mind is trying to get ahead of myself, and I'm trying to slow it down a little bit, but we've got to be sanctified through this word. The word cleanses our hearts. It tells us what to do and what not to do. It tells us which path to go down and which path not to go down. And as we eat this word, and as we continue in our sanctification process, and we give the Holy Spirit something to work with, the Holy Spirit then will convict our hearts when we're wrong. The Holy Spirit will tell you when you shouldn't have done that thing or said that thing. The Holy Spirit will sit on you and you won't be able to sleep. It's been there. I've done it myself. I'm like, Lord, like, oh, I got to get up. I got to correct that wrong. That's what the sanctification process does. When we are intentional, when we are reading our word, when we're worshiping him, when we are praying consistently, he sanctifies us and makes us better and makes us stronger because of our responsibility that we have to glorify God through our purpose. We were not created to be here for ourselves. Not even for our children, not even for our parents. We were here to glorify God. So if we get all that mixed up, he will send us down a path that is not fun, y'all. I know y'all know. Y'all have lived long enough, because I know. It ain't fun. How many times have you gone down the wrong road and you're like, okay, Lord, I want to be back in your wheel. Lord, let me get back in your wheel. when I leave my sanctification process, when I leave the word and I leave prayer and I now become like the people that he's trying to set me apart from, I stunt my growth. I do that. God doesn't do that. And what we do sometimes is we blame God. It's his fault. No. We got to take ownership. That's on you. And so when we're talking about this sanctification process, it is something that is tedious. And I think we talk about sanctification and we kind of wrestle through it because we know what it is. We know that we're called to be holy. We know that we're set apart. But do we slow down and really understand the process of what it is and what it looks like each and every day? It's how I treat this person on a day-to-day basis. It's how I go to work and do I let my light shine or do I confine to the world? That's the difference. Am I operating in my God-given gifts and talents that he called me to do? Am I surrendering my heart to him? And so through this, what I love that Jesus did and what he said here in verse 19, he says, "And for the sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth." And so one thing that Jesus did is he was the model and he was the example. He didn't do anything that he didn't want us to do. He showed us how to do it through his 33 years of life. From the time he was born to the time he went to the cross, he showed us what sanctification looked like. He stole away to pray on the mountain by himself, sanctification. He took the time to look up to God and to pray and to talk to him, sanctification. He got baptized by John the Baptist, sanctification. He showed us through all of these different things that he did throughout his life. He showed us exactly what he wanted us to do, how he wanted us to do it. So we have it right here. So anytime we get lost, all we got to do is open the book to find our way. If you lost the direction, you don't know which way to go, go to the book. Daily sanctification. And if we stay in it, we won't get lost. And so as he sanctifies himself, he is also transforming his mind to get ready to go to the cross, to fulfill this purpose. You see, in the first verse, he says, the hour has come, right? The hour has come. And I'm getting ahead of myself, and I'll read it again later. But it says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify you. The hour has come. His transformation process was done. Some of us are in the midst of our transformation process. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all, with open or unveiled face, beholding as a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, this daily dose of the word of truth transforms us in the process of sanctification. He will change our lives if we allow him, but how will he do this? Through the time that we spend with him. That transformation has to happen in that intimate space. I think about Paul. And when Saul became Paul, God blinded him. Jesus blinded him for 3 days. He had no distractions. He couldn't look from left to right because he was blind. And in those 3 days, he was transformed by Jesus Christ. Jesus taught him all the things. And so I wonder if we would just give God 3 days. 3 days of total focus on him. Some of y'all are off for the holidays. You got time, right? 3 days. Sit in the presence of the Lord. Hear his voice. Get to know what his voice is so that he can sanctify you in the process and grow you, because it's levels to this. I always talk about how there's levels to patience. There's levels to sanctification. I was talking to my dad last night, and he said, you know, T, I'm still learning myself. My dad's 76 years old. He said, I'm still learning. I'm learning something new every day about the word. Something I never saw in my 76 years. That's how beautiful this word is. You can read the same scripture and get something different 5 years later. It is ongoing. It's timeless. And so that transformation, I can read the woman with the issue of blood. I know that story from back to front, front to back. I know that whole story. I know I could feel what she felt, all of the things. But if I read that in 10 years, it's going to give me something different. Because that's how alive the word is. It's for that present time. Ooh, sanctification. And so I can still learn something from that particular situation, that particular story, years from now, and gain something different and add that to my life. That's transformation. And so that means that in the midst of our transformation, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where he says, beholding, this means to study carefully ourselves and who we are, aim to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look into God's mirror, right, we are beholding, we are studying him as we look in his mirror. And what are we trying to do as we look in God's mirror? We're trying to look more like him. That's our goal, is to look more like Jesus Christ, to be more like him character-wise, and how we walk and how we talk. And so when we talk about that, and back to the scripture where in chapter 17, Jesus was saying that he had all these disciples that were walking with him, and he knew that they were going to fail. He knew Judas was going to betray him. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew all of these things. And he said, I know they'll fail, but I won't lose them. And the only one he lost was Judas. He said, the only one I lost was a son of perdition. And that was Judas. And so as we're transforming, we might lose one or two people. We might lose friends. We might lose family. But your calling doesn't change because you lost people. And so you can't get distracted by what you've lost. You have to hone on to what you've gained through Christ. So yes, you're going to lose things, people, places, whatever, jobs. But what you gain is what's important. What God gives you is what's important. And so when Judas was left and he let go, another thing is that he failed. Peter failed. But Peter started the first church. So each and every one of us, we've failed. We're going to continue to fail and make mistakes. It's just going to happen. It's inevitable. But that's a part of our growth. That's a part of our sanctification. Because when we fail and we make mistakes, we can grow from those mistakes. And we can get better and just say, you know what, I ain't doing that again. You ever got your hand? I ain't doing that again. Right? And so when you get to that point of sanctification, and you get to that point that I failed, do not wallow in your pity. Don't feel like you can't go on because you messed up. He's a loving God. But don't abuse it either. Hold yourself accountable. Trust that the Lord can fix that thing in our hearts, that iniquity that we have. We all have this iniquity in here that wants to do the right thing, but then we don't. That messes up and we want to tuck our tails. No, own it boldly. Hey, God, I messed up. That wasn't right. Help me, fix me, Lord. Touch me, right? Sanctification, maturity, spiritual maturity. That is how we grow. That is how we get better. So oftentimes, as we transform and level up, the transformation process becomes something that you fall in love with, because you start looking a little bit more like him. And I can kind of attest to this with my mom. My mom is amazing. She's great. But she has short fuse. You know, when kids yelling and all this stuff, stop it! you know, she yells and she's like, what is going on? I have that. And it's because I became more like my mom as I grew up, right? And so I used to have all this patience, and now it's like, oh, like I sound like my mama. Well, our whole point of this sanctification process is sounding more like our daddy. Sounding more like him each and every day. Appearing more like him each and every day. Walking with this light each and every day. There's something different about her, right? And so we have this finished work that we have to complete. So through the process comes transformation. Through transformation, there is then a finished work that has to be completed. Okay? Jesus said in verse 1 again, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes, I'm in John 17 again, to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, not has come, is come, present. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. So he had this agenda that he came to do and walk this earth for 33 years. I don't know how long each and every one of us are going to live, but there's an agenda. There's something that God has given us to do. And until we finish that work, until our hour has come, it's coming. We don't know when. Maybe Jesus will come back before any of us leave this earth. He's on his way. But if he had this finished work and he modeled life before us, we also have a finished work that we have to do. And so whatever that finished work is, it gets us ready to go live with him in heaven. It gets us ready to go see him. And so the hour is coming for us. And we can't stunt our growth. We stunt our growth internally and externally, unknowing and knowing. Internally, pride, fear, unforgiveness, ego, all of those things keep us from the word of God. It keeps us from growing in the Lord. Shame. It keeps us from growing. External, that can be busyness. It doesn't always have to be drugs and alcohol. Everybody doesn't struggle with that. But it might be just being busy and not slowing down enough to create time to sit with your Father in heaven, to have that intimate time with him so he can sanctify and grow you, grow us. It's important, y'all. And I wanted to take my time through this because God is literally just speaking to me and he's saying something is coming. Like I'm getting ready to come. He's coming. And I think we can all feel it. We can all see it in the world. We're set apart because we're not a part of it, but we can see it. And we better be careful because all these little AI videos, y'all think that it's real. I mean, I can see a video and I'm like, that's AI. But some people can't. We can't see it. It is starting to get real scary out there. They'll start putting things on the news that we think is real if they haven't already. You know what I mean? So we have to have discernment. Where do you get discernment? In your sanctification process and intimate time with Jesus Christ. Discernment. It's a gift. Pray for it. Ask for it. He'll give it to you so that you can see in the spirit. We can't survive it just in the natural and seeing things in the natural because it'll trick you. See in the spirit. And so, 1 John 3:1-3. And this is just me. This is saying, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. We are children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Sanctification. You and I are children of God, and he loves us dearly. And God's ultimate goal in all of this was for us to be more like Jesus and nothing else. And so whenever we go through our life in this process of sanctification, this transformation, there will be a finished work. And there will be a reward at the end of it. And we will run this race and we will take our time. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. But when we get to that finished place, what then will we see? In Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 says, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars." We see Jesus. That's describing Jesus. And that's what we will see at the end of our finished work. That's who will meet us. And so I don't know about any of you, but I want to see Jesus. And so if we all agree and want to see him, we've got to get into that sanctification process. We got to be intentional with it. And the only part that we have to do is meet Jesus. He'll do the work. He'll allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, to make us better, to make us stronger. And you'll start seeing and knowing that you're different. And the fruit will show. You won't have to tell nobody, "Oh, Tierra, don't do that no more." Sanctification. We are set apart and we are called to be holy. We are called to be different. So if you are the oddball out in the crowd, you are called to be different. You are called to be set apart. And so we've got to eat our daily bread. We've got to apply ourselves to our daily sanctification. And remember that in Exodus chapter 16, God told Moses the manna was going to come down daily. They couldn't save it or store it up. You can't take yesterday's bread. You can only live for today. You can only get that daily bread. And so my prayer for you today is that you strengthen your walk with Christ. You strengthen your walk in your time, your intimate time with Jesus, to enhance that sanctification process, to be intentional. And so as I close us in prayer, if you don't mind standing, I'm going to go ahead and close us. And I want you to just have this time with yourself and with God. And ask him to help you be strengthened in your sanctification process. Let's bow. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this process, Lord. We thank you, God, that you have called us to be sanctified, set apart, to be holy, Lord. You know each and every one of our stories intimately. You know what we struggle with. You know the things that we have done to stunt our own growth, Lord. So during this time, God, I just pray that you would touch each and every one of us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. And that you would ignite your Holy Spirit into our bodies. And that we would feel you and spend time with you each and every day. That we would hear you in the Spirit, that we would see you in the Spirit, that we would be convicted and that we would turn our direction to get back to your will. You hear the prayers in the hearts of your people. And so, God, I just pray to God that you would have your way in each of our lives, each needing something different. But because you're a big God, you know exactly what we need. And so, God, I am so grateful for the word that you have provided. and the vessel that you allowed me to be on today. In Jesus' name.
Father, we know we need your word. And we glorify your name for your word this morning. And we thank you for a reminder. And we ask, Father, that on the days that you give us to awake, your breath that you breathe into our lungs, that we will be reminded of you every morning you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a word, a hand clap for his word this morning. As I was sitting and listening to Sister Tierra minister this morning, if you guys realize, the Lord is reminding us week in and week out that we need to draw closer to him. We can see the shift in the atmosphere. If we can't, like Sister Tierra said in the word, ask the Lord for his discernment. But he's calling us to draw closer to him. I want to be caught up with him. I don't want to be left here. And I know everybody is of the same mindset, right? Amen. If you haven't given already, please do. We do need your support. And we thank those that have given. The point in giving is so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can continue to go out through this world. Amen. We do have first worship coming up December 31st. We're doing something a little different this time, y'all. We are going to show up at 10 p.m. That's an hour earlier than usual, so that we can fellowship out there in the lobby and just break bread with one another. There will be, you know, a few refreshments at 10 o'clock. But if you can, come out at 10. Let's break bread amongst one another and just talk to one another and just fellowship with one another. We don't get to do that all the time here at church, right? So let's take that time coming into the new year and let's just fellowship with one another. Laugh, joke, talk about, you know, things that happened in the previous year and just say how God has blessed us and taken us through this entire year. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to thank those that have joined us for their first time as guests. Please give them a hand as well, too. Last but not least, we want to thank those that have joined us by webcast. If you are able to, join us in the 11 o'clock service as well. And you're more than welcome back at any service here at Christ Unveiled. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.